Hello and welcome back to The Hum. This is the bonus episode for the Hum and the Holler podcast, where I take you from new moon to new moon. And we're beginning with May 11th, which is a new moon in Taurus. And all new moons are powerful times for initiation, for beginning something new, but this moon is a little bit next level. It is the last new moon before we begin eclipse season on the 26th of May. So we are officially entering into kind of like a long period that one might call a portal of some type. So this new moon ushers in a time of a lot of change. And what's cool about this particular new moon in Taurus is there's a lot of supportive energy coming from all of the outer planets, the ones that are farthest away in the sky, slowest moving, which means that this is a day when the larger stressors and uncertainties of the times that we are in, my friends, and what times we are in, this is a day when those can start coalescing a little bit more clarity, a little more sense of the underlying meaning for the larger trends and patterns. So on the 11th, you might want to pay attention to insights that come up, or even just fantasies, daydreams, any kind of intuitive, free associative train of thought that leads you somewhere interesting. You might want to notice, especially with a new moon in Taurus, what helps your body settle. Taurus is a deeply embodied sign. It is the sign that I associate with rest and digest, that nervous system function that helps you calm down and regroup, restore yourself, recuperate after high stress, high active, high intensity times. So this new moon in Taurus offers us like a really beautiful capacity to rest. And yet this month is not the most restful. There is a lot going on astrologically this year, last year, next year, and it's not gone just because we got this new moon in Taurus, but this is a beautiful time to lean into the capacity to rest in the midst of it all. This energy shifts a little bit on May 13th, and the shift is an interesting one. This is the day when Jupiter moves into Pisces, and so just a few days after the new moon, there's this kind of continuation feeling of if you have been deeply embodied, if you have been able to settle and rest, if you've been in your daydreams, in your sort of internal introspective state, Jupiter in Pisces deepens you into somewhere less tangible, more dream world, but really potentially very fun. So when we're talking about Jupiter, we're talking about the planet of expansive joy, of optimism, buoyancy, the desire to grow, the desire to move toward and do something in a big way. And Jupiter makes sort of an annual shift from sign to sign. It takes roughly 12 years to move through all 12 signs of the zodiac. And so Jupiter has been in Aquarius during this past year, and this past year has been one that really increased and expanded our ideas about revolutions, with both a right-wing attempt at insurrection in the US and sort of the broadest support ever globally for the movement for Black Lives. So as we're moving from Aquarius to Pisces, with Jupiter making this shift on the 13th, Pisces is a sign where Jupiter is deeply at home. It is the traditional ruler of this sign. And when we think about expanse and increase and bigness and joyous movement toward all things Pisces, we are thinking about, on the one hand, compassion, love, deep, unconditional empathy. And on the other hand, self-abandonment, bad boundaries, codependence. So Jupiter in Pisces can intensify both deeply spiritual practices and conspirituality, deeply paranoid practices, communion with the sacred, and also forms of anxious escapism, we might say. So for those of you who might already be struggling with asserting and holding boundaries or keeping your addictive behaviors in check, this isn't necessarily your best friend, this Jupiter in Pisces energy. It's going to be really important to find ways of tuning into it without going too far, without going to extremes, and finding some external supports to keep you grounded and tuned into reality. On a more positive note, Jupiter in Pisces, for the entire collective, can increase our sense of empathy for each other, our sense of connection. And there is something potentially deeply beautiful about this shift. And then on May 17th, we have Sun trine Pluto. And this is a pretty sweet influence. If you like going deep, Pluto is the planet that helps us look at those places in our lives and our psyches that we tend to cover up, that remain hidden, the subconscious, if you will, all of the shadowy things in our lives. And a trine is an aspect that helps offer a sense of supportive flowing energy. So with the Sun trine Pluto, this is a day when it can become easier to bring things to light that you have been not ready to look at yet or not able to see clearly. So it's a little bit like a friend holding your hand as you sort through all of those things under your bed that you've been leaving to molder and fester for a while instead of having to face it alone, right? So this is a transit that's asking you to dredge some things up, but also offering you some clarity, insight, support around it. So this is a good day on the 17th to do some releasing, do some purging, do some deep cleaning, do some kind of like expunging of things that have been just knocking around in your world for too long and gunking things up. And then on May 20th, there are two things of note. The one is Sun enters Gemini, which is a sign that's far more active, verbal, vocal, social than Taurus. And we also have a Saturn trine to Venus. So these two together bring an energy of far more outward focus, far more interest in hanging out, talking, getting down with other people in your life. And particularly with that Saturn trine, doing this in a way that feels ethical and responsible, connecting to the people that you deeply value and trust, making good decisions about who you want to give your energy to. All of these things are supported on the 20th. If there's something you've been meaning to talk to somebody about and you've been waiting because you felt off, you've been scared of the conversation, this is a good day for it. This is a good day to lean into a sense of joyful curiosity with that Gemini energy. And that Saturn trine to Venus really helps solidify and stabilize the bonds in your life that you would like to be strong. And then on the 26th, here we are, dun, 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 the first lunar eclipse, full moon in Sagittarius. So we are fully in eclipse season. And eclipses are these events that happen several times a year. We call it eclipse season because they tend to happen two at once, separated by a few weeks. And so there's this one on the 26th. There will be another one on June 10th. And this eclipse is happening in the Sagittarius-Gemini axis. So those two signs that are opposite each other, the energies of these signs are what is getting activated by this eclipse. And so eclipses are like these big doors opening and closing. They're this huge kind of like strobe light effect, I think of, because it's when the light is interrupted. So where we are used to having light, we get darkness. And in that darkness, we see things differently. So eclipses tend to have an effect a little bit like Pluto, that planet we were talking about before, in that they help us expose things that are hidden. Eclipse season often brings surprises, revelations, new information, new potential paths for us. And in the Sagittarius-Gemini axis, there's going to be a lot of back and forth about what we believe, which is Sagittarius, and what we question, which is Gemini. So there's a lot of themes going on around information versus misinformation, narratives as something that can heal or harm us? What is our relationship to this endless stream of communication in our lives, social media, email, etc.? And what is that doing to our more intuitive sense of life purpose and passion? So this eclipse will be personal for you. You're going to feel it a little extra hard. If you have any planets between 4 and 10 degrees of Sagittarius, Gemini, Virgo, or Pisces. Because eclipses are a time of uncovering and learning and awakening, they're great times for gathering information, but not necessarily the best time to take decisive action. If you can wait a few weeks on anything, and really don't stress out if you can't, but if you can wait a few weeks, this eclipse season will be over by June 24th. And then, day after the eclipse, we've got Venus square Neptune, which is a little bit of a tricky influence, particularly for our relationships. Neptune is the planet of dreaminess, romanticism, idealism, escapism, delusions, that kind of infatuation, crush energy that really kicks up our longing for the dreamier, the sparklier, the grander, more romantic, more epic, the larger than life. And Venus is how we do relationships. So when there's a tense aspect between the two of these, there is high potential for feeling a little bit let down by reality. And that letdown might come today or it might come a little bit later. Hard to say. The other aspect of this aspect, the other way this aspect can show up, is that it sensitizes us. Neptune is a sensitizer to the pain of the world. It is where we access compassion. So we may be dissatisfied with the love that we're getting. We might be also willing to give away way too much of ourselves in a way that is unboundaried and unconsidering of our own deep needs. So keep an eye on where you are putting your energy and where you are feeling frustration or that you are not being met. And try to stay a little grounded during this transit. Keep your reality testing tools at hand. If you are someone who does creative work of any kind, this can be a beautiful day for inspiration, but not the best day for editing or for follow through on what you are inspired. So take notes, daydream, be in the creative space, and maybe don't stress too hard about a finished product today. And then on May 29th, Mercury will be stationing retrograde. So, you know, as if we needed even more in this month, Mercury retrograde is a time that reminds us to slow down. And often we need to retrace our steps and, you know, do the whole measure twice so you only have to cut once, because otherwise you're going to have to go way back to the beginning and start all over. So this Mercury retrograde period will last until June 22nd. If you remember, June 24th as the date when eclipse season is over, June 22nd, a few days earlier, when Mercury retrograde is over. Do not feel, my friends, for a moment that you just have to put your whole life on hold during Mercury retrograde and eclipse season, because honestly, these two are kind of awesome transits in that they help us learn so much more. But just think of this as a learning period rather than the most efficient doing period. So, not the time to try to launch the biggest thing. Not the easiest time to get the things done that you're trying to get done. Beautiful time for epiphanies, insights, deep relearning, deep ruminating, all of the things that help you remember who you are, what you're doing here and why, and find that information that is different than that endless stream of what's coming from outside. And then in June 2nd, we have Venus moving into Cancer. So Venus has been in Gemini for quite some time now, a few weeks. And Venus in Cancer is a really different energy. Gemini, inquisitive, social, lighthearted, party animal. And Cancer is far more tender, far more inward, far more interested in chosen family. With Venus in Cancer, we may want to pull back our energy a little bit and be more careful and considered about who we open up to and what those connections look like. Venus in Cancer is a beautiful time to be like having a sweet little potluck dinner party with a few of your vaccinated friends, if you are all vaccinated by this time, which I really hope you are. If you are not, if you don't have that capacity, lean into the people who feel like family to you, even if they can't be in person with you. On June 3rd, right after Venus moves into Cancer, we get a Jupiter trine to Venus, and this is just the sweetest. These two planets in astrology are good friends, and both of them are very interested in us having a pleasurable and joyous time. So Jupiter trine Venus is the best transit you can look for if you are trying to like go on a date, plan a party, be in your body in a way that feels sensual and joyous, do some deep healing work in a way that doesn't feel re-traumatizing but actually feels restorative. All of these things are indicated with Jupiter trine Venus. The only thing that's not indicated, or rather the only thing that can be tricky and that you might want to watch out for under this influence on the third, is overindulgence. If you are someone whose coping mechanisms around stress involve numbing out your feelings through seeking out pleasure of any kind, whether that is disordered forms of eating or sexual behavior or shopping sprees or anything in which the pull is more a compulsion to fill a sense of emptiness or to stop feeling something, Jupiter trine Venus can exacerbate that kind of tendency because Jupiter is like, do it more, do what feels good, more. So watch out on June 3rd and use this influence if you can to tap into deep, deep, deep sources of pleasure and restorative energy instead of reaching for what might help you tune out a little bit more. And, you know, I say this with love and from a harm reduction model, with the understanding that whatever you end up doing on June 3rd, even if you find yourself in your addictions, find yourself there with love and compassion. And then on the 5th, we have Mars opposite Pluto. This is a little bit fiery. This is a little bit of a tricky one. Mars is where we get riled up. It is where we fight. It is where we assert ourselves, have boundaries, aggressively pursue what we want. And Pluto is that energy of let's look at the shadow side. Let's look into what is hurt, what is broken, what is wounded, what is infected, what is in need of a good transformation of some kind. And an opposition is tense. So there's some tension between what we want and the things in our lives that are stuck and broken and hard. So with Mars opposite Pluto, we are more likely to just kind of be in a bad mood, to maybe blame other people, to maybe take it out on other people, or to maybe have some shame about how we handle ourselves, how we handle anger, how we react when our survival mechanisms kick in. So watch for what comes up for you on June 5th so that you can make room with all of this compassionate, you know, Venus, Cancer, Jupiter, Pisces energy, so that you can make room for a loving process of growth around ways that you use your Mars energy that maybe you don't want to. Mars energy being, you know, how you pursue desire, how you handle sex, how you handle anger, how you handle boundaries, all of these things. And that, my friends, brings us to the end of the podcast for this month. We're going to pick up next month with the solar eclipse, new moon in Gemini, on June 10th. So look for that to drop on June 9th. I will talk to you then. Have a good month, y'all.